Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. You're tuned in to Columbo Chronicles at Blog Talk Radio. Follow the mover and shaker, award-winning author and host, seen on TV and radio, Rose Columbo. Every Wednesday, Rose interviews prominent experts and authors on politics and social justice. Call in and listen or ask the guests a question at 646-564-9742. Now, here's Rose.
Hi, everyone. Here's the Rose, Rose Columbo, right here for you on Columbo Chronicles Live. And this is at Blog Talk Radio Network, worldwide online radio. You can listen anywhere in the world. All shows are archived for your convenience, so you can listen at any time in the world. And every Wednesday from 8 to 9 p.m. Pacific Standard Time in the good old USA, and 11 to midnight on the East Coast, and you can check the time in your area or around the world. We have very special guests, authors and experts. We enter into the world of authors and experts on a myriad of topics. It could be anything from health to love to the mafia to big pharma to corruption. It could be just about anything that affects our lives. And tonight is a very special guest and a very special topic that affects the entire world and future generations. It's about the elephants. Did you know that August 12th is the world's day to celebrate the elephants? It is World Elephant Day on August 12th. I didn't know that, but now I do, and so do you. So, will the elephants be depopulated and made extinct, and why? Well, our special guest, Godfrey Harris, is an author, he's a businessman, consultant, he has an expansive background, and I'll tell you a little more about that in just a little bit. And he's going to be here in a few minutes, right around 8:15 our time in the good old USA, Pacific Standard Time, on the West Coast, to share his story about his trip to Africa, what's happening over in Africa, what's happening to the elephants, and what can we do to help, and how are we going to save the elephants. Very, very intriguing, fascinating, and important topic, in fact. So let's talk about the elephants. Well, I learned that there is an elephant lifespan and that the African elephant is extremely long-lived and sometimes survives 60 to 70 years of age. And the male elephants often live longer, even up to 90 years old. And they end up dying of starvation. And the reason is because by the time they're 90 years old, all their teeth are worn out. Sounds very similar to humans. Seriously. So take care of your teeth. Elephants live in family groups called herds. An older female is the matriarch and leads a herd and uses her age and experience to protect the herd and show it to food and water. Females stay with the same herd all their lives, while the males only remain with the herd until they are 12 to 13 years old. They then join a group of other males called, hey, get this, a bachelor herd or live alone. Sounds very similar to humans. The ivory is of extreme importance and the tusks are enormous front teeth. that keep growing throughout an elephant's life. Now, I didn't know the tusks were their front teeth. Did you? They do not serve the same purpose as the other teeth. They are used to dig for roots and water, and they hold grass in place when eating. They use it to strip bark off trees and for battling other elephants. Scientists reckon that elephants prefer their right or left tusk, just like we do prefer our right or left hand. So I thought that was kind of intriguing and interesting little points. And let's take a little break, and we'll talk a little bit more about some interesting facts about what's happening here in the USA before we welcome our wonderful guest, Godfrey Harris.
Keeping up with the news these days is like keeping up with the car. Well, you get the idea. There's a lot of yelling and screaming. Intelligent discussion, not so much. Ready for something refreshing, thought-provoking, and friendly? Okay, grab your favorite hot or cold drink, sit down, and listen to a friendly voice. The Columbo Chronicles Live with Rose Columbo on Blog Talk Radio. Every Wednesday night at 8 on the West Coast, or 11 for anyone sleepless on the East Coast, Rose Columbo welcomes dynamic authors and experts on a myriad of human interest topics. From politics to love, the environment, the mafia, healthcare, and more. It's 60 minutes of original entertainment and intriguing information with the top VIP guests. Senator John DeCamp exposing the Franklin cover-up. Dr. Tony O'Donnell, the herb doc. Dr. Alan Keyes discussing the White House. So, from Rose Columbo's home on the Columbo Chronicles Live to your home, Columbo says she doesn't want to have to send the familia to make sure you are listening.
Listening is an art. An art that humans are losing to the world of robots. Robots don't have any tone or human feelings. The addiction to communicate by texting isn't going away. People are feeling isolated, lonely, frustrated. People need people willing to listen to them. Can you imagine getting a text message that read, "You're fired," or "Hi, would you marry me?" It is happening. Columbo Chronicles is the option and the answer to human communication. Columbo Chronicles provides email access to your ideas and issues. Take advantage of this opportunity now. Go to columbochronicles.com. Click on subscribe today. Columbo is spelled C-O-L-O-M-B-O Chronicles. Fill out the form, submit it, bookmark and subscribe today. Remember the name, columbochronicles.com.
Yes, that's right. We're back with Columbo Chronicles Live right here at Blog Talk Radio. And we're going to welcome our guest, Godfrey Harris, in just a little bit. He'll be joining us right about 8:15. And he has an expansive background, which I will tell you about in just a few minutes, as well as he has a new book coming out soon. It will be titled Credit the Crocodile. How about that? And everybody right now in our world here in the USA is talking about Antifa, the KKK, white nationalists. But a Facebook friend posted this little sign that says, "Help me understand how one Muslim terrorist doesn't represent all of Islam, but one white supremacist idiot represents everyone who voted for Donald Trump." Well, that's kind of interesting and intriguing because there does seem to be some real questions in the minds of many, many Americans as far as the sheeple that are at these protests, knowing that many of them are paid protesters and that George Soros is paying protesters. It's not a secret. And if you watch a video that I doubt very much was shown on MSM, or even I doubt that the government's even seen it, but it is on my Facebook. And it shows that it appears that the Antifa took the first punch at the right side, the protesters who were representing the right side and who wanted to maintain the statues and the monuments, namely General Robert E. Lee. And another intriguing thing is that they were all carrying backpacks, and in this video it appears that they were carrying certain types of things to attack the protesters on the right and antagonize them. And thirdly, I want to mention that it's against the law to destroy public property, government property, paid by the taxpayers. It is called a crime. And the law does allow for peaceful protests, but these protests that involve Black Lives Matter, Antifa, and extremist groups like the KKK appear to end up in violence and rioting and so forth. Protests were intended to bring the issue to the attention of the American people and to protest peacefully and to expound upon each side's reasoning or lack of reasoning in these cases. But there is another issue, too, above and beyond that, is that when they destroy historical statues and monuments, it does remind me of World War II, which we read and were taught that the Nazis tore down statues, artifacts, historical monuments, destroyed property, and injured people, and burned books, and so forth. We know the story. And ISIS is doing the same thing, along with both ISIS and the Nazis committing genocide and torturing people. So these rioters, they are not protesters. They are there to riot and to destroy property. And the other issue is that it's alleged that the police, like in the riots around the country, like in Boston and so forth, where Soros is alleged to have paid protesters to riot in those cities as well, the police were told to stand down. Well, it's also alleged that the police were told to stand down in Charlottesville as well. So if the police can't stop criminals, because that's what they are, they're not protesters. Peaceful protesters are violent criminals who are destroying public property, government property, paid by the taxpayers. But their example are people such as Hillary Clinton, who removed classified emails and destroyed them without authorization and without being held accountable. So you might say that when it came to Hillary Clinton and her team, there was also a stand down. Selective non-prosecution, in my opinion. And that's what's happening. It's selective non-prosecution. And so we have a real serious problem in this country, because there are many, many millions of Americans who do not want our U.S. history, statues, and monuments torn down and destroyed, because that's erasing history. good or bad, it's erasing history. And eventually, what? Are they going to go because someone's offended by a statue of Abraham Lincoln, Thomas Jefferson, George Washington, and so forth? Are those next? Where does it start and where does it end? Until the history of the USA is gone and the people who fought in the Civil War and in other wars and World War II and Vietnam, and is it the World War II monument in D.C. that's next? Where are these people headed? If they're going to get away with destroying property that doesn't belong to them, and they aren't being held accountable, then where are they headed next? Which is the next monument that's going to be torn down? Which church will be offensive to them? Which cross, which Bible, which history book will they demand be burned because it's offensive to them? That is not freedom, liberty, and rights, which is what this country is all about. That is our way or the highway. And one of my Facebook friends posted, black people who were never slaves are fighting white people who were never Nazis over a Confederate statue erected by Democrats, because Democrats can't stand their own history anymore, and somehow it's Trump's fault. That's very interesting, she says. So just pointing out that once that we go down this very dangerous path of allowing people to destroy property and historical monuments and historical figures, history books will be next. Perhaps the U.S. flag, perhaps all the crosses, perhaps all the Christian churches, perhaps the Bible. Nothing's going to satisfy them until, like Hitler, everything is wiped out, and like ISIS, everything that offends them is wiped out. And that's goodbye, America. So that's my little comment about Charlottesville and General Robert E. Lee, who my kids happen to be related to because their grandfather on the paternal side did a genealogy and also sent for their coat of arms. So we're not just erasing history, we're erasing the genealogy of who knows how many Americans who are related to our framers and to historical persons. So let's see. Let's go into the world of authors and experts. And let's take a little break. And when we come back, I'm going to welcome our very special guest, Godfrey Harris. And he's also going to tell us not only about Africa and the elephants, he's also going to tell us about his new book that will be coming out soon, hopefully, Credit the Crocodile. I just love the name. It's rather intriguing. So stay with us, and we'll be back in just a moment.
Keeping up with the news these days is like keeping up with the car. Well, you get the idea. There's a lot of yelling and screaming. Intelligent discussion, not so much. Ready for something refreshing, thought-provoking, and friendly? Okay, grab your favorite hot or cold drink, sit down, and listen to a friendly voice. The Columbo Chronicles Live with Rose Columbo on Blog Talk Radio. Every Wednesday night at 8 on the West Coast, or 11 for anyone sleepless on the East Coast, Rose Columbo welcomes dynamic authors and experts on a myriad of human interest topics. From politics to love, the environment, the mafia, healthcare, and more. It's 60 minutes of original entertainment and intriguing information with the top VIP guests. Senator John DeCamp exposing the Franklin cover-up. Dr. Tony O'Donnell, the herb doc. Dr. Alan Keyes discussing the White House. So, from Rose Columbo's home on the Columbo Chronicles Live to your home, Columbo says she doesn't want to have to send the familia to make sure you are listening.
Howdy, folks. Just stopped in by my favorite restaurant, the Horseshoe Cafe. I highly recommend the home-cooked hot meals and piping hot coffee. In fact, it reminds me of my mom's home cooking when I was growing up. The customer service is excellent. Be sure to save room for the world's best desserts. Make sure you try a slice of fresh homemade pie. The Horseshoe Cafe is located at 154 East 4th Street in the heart of Benson, Arizona. The Horseshoe Cafe is right outside of Tombstone, Sierra Vista, and Tucson. Sometimes Patty and Mike stop by to welcome you. The staff at the Horseshoe Cafe looks forward to seeing you. Stop by to eat or relax. Cool down in the desert with a cold beer or your favorite cocktail. That's the Horseshoe Cafe. Oh, and don't tell anyone I told you, but some people think it's haunted. One thing is for sure, be sure to bring your appetite.
Columbo Chronicles Live. Columbo is on their trail. Listen up at Columbo Chronicles Live.
Hi, we're back on Columbo Chronicles Live, and I'm the Rose, Rose Columbo, right here at Blog Talk Radio Network, worldwide online radio. All shows are archived, so you can listen up at any time at your convenience. And let's get involved now in the world of authors and experts, and that's exactly what we have tonight. We have a wonderful guest, Godfrey Harris. He's been the president of Harris Reagan Management Group, a public policy consulting firm headquartered in Los Angeles since 1968. He began consulting after serving as a university instructor at UCLA and Rutgers, a U.S. Army intelligence officer, a U.S. Foreign Service officer in Bonn, London, and Washington, organizational specialist in President Lyndon Johnson's executive office, and a program manager for an international financial company in Geneva. And he's the author of several books, including Just Sayin', which is one of my favorites. And apparently he's going to have a new book coming up as well, which is he will tell us about, because that's exciting. Credits are crocodiles, so we'll want to know when that will be available for us. So let's go ahead and let's say hi to Godfrey Harris, because he has some very important information to tell us about his trip to Africa, as well as the elephants and what's happening in Africa and to the elephants. Hi, Godfrey Harris. Welcome to Columbo Chronicles.
Thank you very much. Good evening.
Good evening to you. And I'm really excited because you are going to share your information about your trip to Africa, because it really takes away from all the chaos that's coming, that's happening here in the USA, and we've forgotten about Africa and the wildlife and the elephants, and this is really something that's really important. So why don't you just start telling us, why did you decide to visit Africa and what was your interest? When did you begin to get interested in saving the elephants?
Well, that's a longer and broader story. My interest in saving the elephants stems from a very large collection I maintain in ivory objects. And I have been, since 2013, the political representative of something called the International Ivory Society, and subsequently became the managing director of the Ivory Education Institute. And our interest is in preserving an understanding and appreciation of ivory as an artistic substance, and have taken great umbrance at the current attitude of many of the animal rights groups that ivory should be totally banned, all forms of ivory banned from all trade internationally. And from our standpoint, that's anti-cultural. That's equivalent to what ISIS has done in the way of destroying cultural artifacts. in the name of their religion. And the animal rights groups, who are so dependent, so interested, they say in saving elephants, are in fact endangering elephants. I went to Africa 2 weeks ago to deliver the keynote address to a group of 15 countries that form an organization in Southern Africa called the Southern African Development Community. And while that's something that is unknown in the United States, to those people who live in Southern Africa, it has the equivalency of the European Union. And so the countries that belong to the Southern African Development Community include Swaziland, South Africa, Namibia, Zambia, Zimbabwe, Tanzania, and Lesotho. And these countries have, despite what the media tells the American people, these countries have an excess of elephants. They have more elephants in their national parks than the national can support. And these countries have sought to reduce the population of elephants, improve the breed, sell the tusks to better manage their natural resources. And the world has refused. The world, in the form of the Convention on International Trade and Endangered Species, CITES, has taken the position that that elephants are in danger. Elephants are killed at such a rate, they say, that will soon destroy the herds and leave us without any elephants. And therefore, no culling, hunting, use of elephants for food, which is a major source of bushmeat in these Southern African countries, that none of this should take place. And I went to deliver a keynote address to the ivory workshop of the Southern African Development Community to show them a new way to approach the topic and to argue forcefully for managed conservation, for sustained use of natural resources.
Well, when you gave the key topic for discussion on ivory, you also stated that the organizations are now purportedly protecting endangered species in Africa and promoting a racist argument. What did you mean by that?
Well, two things. The major animal rights groups are all headquartered either in the United States or in Europe. And the people who so desperately support these organizations, purportedly to save endangered species in Africa, are comfortably sitting in their on their Hollywood patios, their balconies overlooking Fifth Avenue, or in the sitting rooms of their flats in London, and dictating to African countries how those African countries should manage their natural resources. And, of course, to the people sitting on their patios in Hollywood, their balconies overlooking Fifth Avenue, or their apartments in Mayfair in London, do not come in contact with these elephants or wild beasts, as do the people who live among them in these Southern African countries. And so they act, in our view, very much like the 19th century colonialists, who believed it was in their interest to bring civilization, commerce, and Christianity to the black people, aborigines who lived in Africa. and the same colonial attitude that pervaded 19th century Europe as they colonized Africa is identical to the attitude of these animal rights groups who are dictating to Africa how the Africans should deal with their natural resources. And so we equate what the Bismarcks did, the Leopolds, the Livingstons, and the Rhodes and the other major colonial voices of the 19th century to modern-day organizations such as the Natural Resources Defense Council, the World Wildlife Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, the International Federation of Animal Welfare, and other groups who persist in telling Africa what they need to do to save these wild animals.
Well, is that why you said that these organizations are mirroring what Napoleon III's premier said in 1862? The higher races have a right over the lower races. They have a duty to civilize the inferior races.
Well, my point was, in using that famous quote, was to say that the attitudes of modern-day animal rights groups is no different from the racists who operated out of Europe in the 19th century. One other thing which bothers us and which we talked about at great length, I went to Windhoek, which is the capital of Namibia, where our meetings were held. And at those meetings, I discussed with them the abject insistence on the part of these animal rights groups to deny all rights of African countries to manage their natural resources, including the wild animals who live within their boundaries. And by doing that, these folks were denying an immutable law of economics. And that was what bothered me so much, that they insist that in banning all trade in all types of ivory, including mastodon and mammoth ivory, animals that have been extinct for 20,000 years, but in banning all forms of ivory from international trade without dealing with the demand for ivory that still exists in Asia and other parts of the world, they guarantee that a black market for ivory will be established. And by guaranteeing a black market for ivory, because demand remains as strong now as it did in the 19th century and during the 20th century for objects made from or with ivory, they create a higher price. They squeeze supply, but without changing demand, price has to rise, always has, immutable law of economics. When price rises, then the profit to poachers increases. As a result, poaching will increase, will continue, will endanger the remaining elephants in those range states where elephants are in danger, not southern Africa, but central Africa. And because of their abject stupidity, their ignorance of economic laws, these elephants will be in greater danger because they haven't touched demand, but they've squeezed off supply. When supply is squeezed off and no change in demand, prices rise to buy what is available. When the prices rise, the profit to the poachers increases. And so the danger to elephants remains, gets worse. So in their zeal to cut off all trade in ivory, the very people who claim to be protecting the elephants are endangering them much worse. Is that clear?
So in other words, they're not Yes, they're not interested in ending poaching because poaching raises money, but at the same time, the black market will take control, which endangers the elephants, and there will be fewer elephants, which could end up making them near extinction or extinct in the future, so future generations will never even know an elephant existed. And also, it takes away from the citizens and the leaders of Africa, if I'm not mistaken, from making a real profit for their citizens in their country to make their country better, because the poachers will be controlling the ivory and the elephants. Is that correct or not?
Well, you raised a whole slew of issues. Starting with the first one, are animal rights groups interested in ending poaching? We now believe that they really aren't, that poaching and the photographs taken of animals slaughtered for their tusks or rhinoceroses taken for their horns generate such sympathy in the Western world that contributions to these organizations floods in, so that while they purport to be opposed to poaching, they probably don't want to see it end because poaching raises contributions. That's point one. So we have to look at whether or not these organizations are in the business of trying to save elephants and other wildlife, or they're in the business for the political power of the individuals who control these organizations and the jobs that these organizations and salaries and extra benefits that these organizations provide to these individuals. I happen to think that they're a whole bunch of phonies who purport to be interested in wildlife, and we always say, fine, you're interested in wildlife, how come none of the money you raise goes to help wildlife? It all goes to political purposes, to influencing the American government, the California government, to pass these ridiculous laws that say that if Californians, for example, are prohibited from owning ivory, from buying ivory, from selling ivory, that somehow this prohibition will contribute to an ending of poaching. But of course it doesn't, because the poachers are just ordinary Africans who are paid by Chinese, for the most part, gangs, who organize the slaughter of some of the herds of elephants and then orchestrate the shipment of the tusks to markets in the Far East that buy them, carve them, and use them. And we think that's all a great shame, all unnecessary, all creating a military attitude. And we think it's very close, mind you, to the failure of prohibition in this country. When we prohibited all alcohol in 1920, the people in favor of that said, right, stop up the alcohol and drinking and the evils of alcohol will disappear. Well, of course, nothing like that happened. In fact, over the 10 years of prohibition in this country, drinking was increasing, crime increased, and the amount of money spent on alcohol increased during prohibition compared to when alcohol was totally legal before 1920. Prohibition in this country was a total failure, and its total purpose was exactly the same as the animal rights groups claim for ivory now. Ban it, totally reject it, keep it off the market, and mysteriously poaching will end, just as they said mysteriously alcoholism will end if you prevent the sale and purchase of drink. It didn't happen. We had to repeal prohibition. But because these geniuses who are involved in these kinds of things have a cowboy attitude that the best way to prevent illegal activity is to throw more and more military apparatus, did the same thing when we declared a war on drugs. Okay, we have drones, we have electric fences, we have searchlights, we've added to the border patrol, we do greater searches of incoming shipments to prevent the arrival of illegal drugs into the United States. How's that done? Well, we've got now more deaths per year from drug abuse than we lost during the Vietnam War. We have over 50,000 people dying in the opioid crisis today, and that is after 10 years and billions of dollars to try to prevent this trade. The geniuses who make up this stuff, who believe in greater military activity without dealing with cause, without dealing with demand, they come up short. So what are we going to do about illegal immigration? We're going to build a greater fence. We're going to increase by 10,000 the members of ICE along the border, and we are going to deport all illegal people. It'll never happen. We won't shut down the border. The people who we need to harvest the vegetables and work the farms and make the beds in the hotels are still going to make their way across the border one way or another. Why? Because as soon as these people become scarce, the price of the coyotes will rise from the current $4,000 to bring a person across the border to $8,000 to bring a person across the border. And that extra money is going to mean the tunnels are dug deeper, the ladders are built higher to get over the fence or get under the fence, and it will fail just like drug the war on drugs failed, just like prohibition failed. And we are saying that the same attitude that sponsored prohibition, the war on drugs, end of illegal immigration, are the same geniuses that are saying stop all ivory trade and you will miraculously end all poaching. You won't. You'll just put the price up. You'll just encourage more poaching, and you will endanger elephants even more. And just
it sounds like
to your
it sounds
sorry.
Like the perfect recipe for it sounds like the perfect recipe for criminal organized syndicate operations to continue on with
absolutely.
Drugs, alcohol, illegals, and poaching.
Absolutely. The more we deal with the surface elements of crime, the more profitable crime becomes, and the more profitable crime becomes, the more people go into it. Why wouldn't you? There's a lot of money to be made. And the more we try to squeeze it off, the more openings there are for clever people to evade these militaristic approaches, because we don't deal with the basic causes. We don't try to regulate trade in ivory. We don't have a marketplace where people can openly buy and sell ivory tusks. Now, a lot of your listeners will worry about this, and they'll say, "Oh, but I read that 35,000 elephants are killed a year. That's 96 elephants a day." And that was the number assigned by the Speaker of the California Assembly to the bill she sponsored to stop all trade in ivory. It was called AB, Assembly Bill 96, and it represented the alleged number of elephants killed each day for their tusks. And, of course, the number is just purely made up. Nobody has any idea how many elephants die at the hands of poachers. They don't take a census. They don't stand up and say, "Please count the number of tusks I'm smuggling from Central Africa to Thailand or to Vietnam or to China." So we really don't have any idea But the worst sin of all is that these geniuses who spend a lot of money to get a lot of people elected and who spew out these numbers as if they're authentic never account for the fact that elephants die of natural causes. They die of old age. They die of disease. They die of battle with other bulls in seeking the favor of the cows to breed. And we think it may be 5 or 10% of the population of African elephants. And so a huge number of tusks become available as a result of natural causes. Why shouldn't those tusks be sold on the market at a market rate where the countries who collect these tusks from elephants that have died of natural causes could benefit, could spend the money on expanding their national parks, on improving their ranger crews, on encouraging more tourism, and doing for wildlife what we have done in this country for a number of our protection of our natural areas.
Well, it appears to me that the goal is not to make it so that the country is industrialized and turned into a civilized nation of capitalism, free enterprise, and people earning as much as they possibly can. Seems to me that they want to keep the citizens of those third world countries down, and so they use them and abuse them by paying them these people who invade, these countries who invade, like China, invade these countries, knowing that these people are poor and they will take whatever amount they pay them to go out and do whatever they're asking them to do because they're poor and they need the money. So it appears to me that that's the way they like it.
Well, there is another factor, and that's another thing that's denied by all these do-gooder groups, and that is that over the years, human population has grown dramatically, and as the population of Africa grows, it pushes against the preserves for the wild animals. And it is this clash between humans and wild animals that has caused all the concern. But we have to recognize that humans live among the wild animals, and if we give them a way to earn money from wild animals, then they will have much less interest in participating in the poaching of those wild animals. And it's not so much that we wish for Africa a certain destiny in terms of economic growth. From our standpoint, from the Ivory Education Institute's point of view, Africa should be left to the Africans. They are perfectly capable of dealing with their own problems, with their own opportunities, with their own growth, with their own development. They don't need our interference. We can be of service to them when they ask, but we shouldn't presume that we know what is best for Africa today as we presumed it. We, being white people, presumed it in the 19th century, and that's what's happening. In Namibia, well, for instance, there is an enormous development, a Chinese hospital being built for the people by the People's Republic of China with Chinese engineers and architects, but Namibian labor, and this hospital will serve the entire country and will inure to the benefit of China for the next century. What's the United States doing? What's the European Union doing? Nothing. What are we doing? We're telling them how to manage their resources, their wild animals and wild fauna. And we are dictating to them how they should live their lives. What are the Chinese doing? The Chinese are helping them live better lives, providing jobs, and will have a much greater influence in the future than we will ever have. Because the attitude is so different. We know what's best for the Africans, and the Chinese are facing up and saying, if you'd like a hospital, we'd like to build it for you.
That's amazing, because I don't think most Americans ever heard that before. I've never heard that before. I think that's done very quietly by the Chinese, and I think that's very intelligent of them to do that. And,
well, the Chinese,
you know,
they're
smart
have,
people.
The Chinese? I'll say they're smart people. They've been around longer than Americans, and they've persisted for through a lot different eras and have bounced back from where they were in the 14th century. But, you know, when you say that most Americans have never heard that or don't know it, and I'm saying, well, it's happening in Namibia, and I would challenge most of your audience, without going to Google and without looking for their atlas, to even guess where Namibia is on the African continent. It's not a hint against Americans or Europeans. It is the fact that we are so egocentric that what happens in Washington is so overpoweringly important that what happens in the rest of the world can't possibly be of equal importance, and hence people don't know, have no basis for learning.
I read that in Africa they are overpopulating at such a fast rate that because of the technology of and seeing what's happening in other countries like America and Europe, that more and more will try to migrate into America, and that's a problem, and into Europe, and that's a problem. Because we've got the Middle East overpopulated, we've got Africa overpopulated, they're all fleeing into Western civilization. Economically, we can't afford it, and cultural-wise, they aren't compatible many times. And so bottom line is, if Europe and D.C. did pay attention to countries like Africa and the Middle East and attempt, like you said, to do as the Chinese do and say, hey, what can we do to keep your people happy in your countries and make it better so they want to stay in their countries? Because it is a huge economic burden on the American people today, and eventually it'll wipe out the American middle class because it's unaffordable, in my opinion.
Everything you just said is absolutely true. I would just add one tiny note. The African migration into Europe now is coming out of Nigeria, middle African states just below the Sahara Desert, and to some extent from Libya, where the economic situation is so depressed that they gamble with their lives and take the long trip in order to find some basis to earn a living, send money back home, and support their families. The economies in these countries, whether through corruption or through bad management, has not kept pace with their need for immigration. What I would caution about is that Africa is a big place, 54 different countries. There are only 15 countries in South America, but there are 54 countries, 3.5 times the number in Africa. And what happens in Ghana and what happens in Zaire are totally different. They're night and day. They are not the same country. We, in our ignorance, lump it together and say Africa. But They are from different tribes, different cultures, speak different languages, have different needs, different objectives, and we have to do the hard work of knowing what each of these countries, cultures, tribes desire. How can we help when they ask for that help, and therefore have an influence, as you say, in building their economy so the people who want to stay home, stay home. I am sure that the Africans don't feel comfortable in London, but that's where the jobs are, and that's why they make such an effort to get there.
Yes, and it puts a burden on the natural-born citizens and the legal citizens who are also struggling to make a living, and now the burden of supporting them because they end up on entitlement programs is going to be unaffordable at the rate we're headed. But unfortunately, we're coming to the end of – it went so fast, this interview, and I thoroughly enjoy talking to you, Godfrey Harris. So why don't you tell us what can we do to help save the elephants and stop the poaching?
Pay attention. Doubt. Question. Ask. Why somebody supports, demand proof. All that we who are on the other side of this argument, who believe in sustained conservation, want is for the American people and Europeans to ask the questions, not to blindly think that elephants are about to go extinct, not to think that the danger to herds in Central Africa is identical to the situation among elephants in southern Africa, quite different and require different strategies and different programs. And all we want is for the American people to pay attention, not to accept it at face because Prince William says his grandmother ought to destroy all her ivory objects because having ivory objects only increases people's demand for more ivory and threatens elephants. That is just not true. But because Prince William says it, People magazine publishes it, and then millions believe it. But it isn't true. And all we ask is they take a step back and say, does this make sense? Is this the way to go? Unfortunately, we didn't get to talk about Credit the Crocodile, but maybe the next time you and I talk, Rose, we will have that opportunity.
I can't wait. And is there a group, an organization that they can contribute to and get in touch with to help?
Yeah, kind of you to say. The Ivory Education Institute, of which I'm the managing director, is a nonprofit, tax-deductible organization dedicated to understanding and appreciating what ivory has meant to civilization since before biblical times and still means to civilization today, understanding it, appreciating it. And we happily accept any donation. They just need to go to www.ivoryeducationinstitute.org, ivoryeducationinstitute.org. They can get in touch with me, and I will guide them should they want to make a donation.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Godfrey Harris, and God bless you, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Hope so. Thank you, Rose.
You're welcome. Well, Godfrey Harris has left the building, and we have to close out for the evening. And but, you know, we do need to help save the elephants and help the African people as well. And we can do it. We can do things. We can do positive things. We are our thoughts. So all we have to do is think positive, take positive steps, and each person is important. Whatever you do that is positive for saving our wild animals, helping other people in other countries, helping people in our own country, helping our neighbors, our friends, whatever you choose to do, do it in a positive frame of mind, and you will be blessed. You'll be surprised how you will be blessed. And God bless you. Remember, injustices can happen to you, and they can happen to me. But together, we can make a positive difference. Remember that you are never alone when you listen to Colombo Chronicles Live at Blog Talk Radio Network. Talk to you next Wednesday at 8 o'clock p.m. Pacific Standard Time. This is The Rose signing off.
Listening is an art that humans are losing to the world of robots. Robots don't have any tone or human feelings. The addiction to communicate by texting isn't going away. People are feeling isolated, lonely, frustrated. People need people willing to listen to them. Can you imagine getting a text message that read, "You're fired," or "Hi, would you marry me?" It is happening. Colombo Chronicles is the option and the answer to human communication. Colombo Chronicles provides email access to your ideas and issues. Take advantage of this opportunity now. Go to ColomboChronicles.com. Click on subscribe today. Colombo is spelled C-O-L-O-M-B-O Chronicles. Fill out the form, submit it, bookmark and subscribe today. Remember the name, ColomboChronicles.com. Listening is an art that humans are losing to the world of robots. Robots don't have any tone.
Rose Colombo is signing off, and she's left the building. Be sure to bookmark and share Colombo Chronicles Live every Wednesday from 8 to 9 p.m. on the West Coast. Or, if you're sleepless in the big city, that would be 11 to midnight on the East Coast. Rose Colombo says, remember, you're never alone when you tune in every Wednesday to Colombo Chronicles.